Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the latest edition of our occasional game, Advice Roulette. You got it from my little spiel before the break, and our lines are all ready. Actually, we have two open lines still. So if you want to call up and get in line, you can ask for a piece of advice about anything from any listener who you happen to be on the line with, as long as you are willing to give a piece of advice to whatever the next caller asks you. We've had a lot of luck with this in the past. We found that you don't have to be an expert to give really good advice. So 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Linda in Morris Plains. You're on WNYC. Hi, Linda. And okay. We're also going to put on the line Dennis in Nassau County. Dennis, are you there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Linda, you get to ask Dennis for a piece of advice.
Okay. Well, Dennis, how do you do?
Hi.
All right. I have a house, and I am thinking that I should stay in it for a couple of years until I pay off the mortgage. I have about another, you know, 150 plus to pay, but the house is too big for me. It's I have 4 bedrooms. I have my kids are out, and my husband's passed on. So I looked into condos, and it seems as though I would end up spending just as much if I were to move and then move into a condo of any repute.
So the question is, should you trade down for a condo?
Right,
Dennis. Should you do it?
No. And the reason I say is that I just got a condo actually a few years ago, and the board of directors has made a loan of $500,000 on the property without telling the other owners. So I think there could be so much aggravation that.
Right.
And at least she's in control of her own house. All right, Linda.
At least I know my aggravation. I know my own.
Linda, thank you very much. We hope that Dennis's advice is helpful to you. And now, Dennis, you're going to get to ask for a piece of advice from Elizabeth in Washington Heights. Elizabeth, hi. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, Dennis, you're up.
Okay, I have a question about divorce. I was divorced recently after 28 years of marriage, and I still love the person that I was married to. But my friends say that, she can't be trusted, so I just want to find out if that's very unusual for someone to still care for the person that they were married to at one time.
I would think it would be unusual, frankly, if you didn't still care for the person about whom you cared enough to marry in the first place, and to whom you were married for 28 years. So just because continuing to be married to each other isn't the right choice for the two of you anymore doesn't negate that it was the right choice, that it may have been the right choice to begin with, and that it was the right choice for a long time. So I think you can honor both of those things, particularly important if you have children with your ex-wife.
Yes, I do.
Nice.
They both need to know that both of their parents' relationship with each other that was responsible for their own creation was real.
Nice, Elizabeth. Really nice. So whether or not it's a good idea to actually get back with your ex-wife, it's not unusual at all to still have feelings for somebody who you shared so much with. So, Dennis, I hope that's helpful.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much. And now, Elizabeth, by the way, you're not a therapist, are you? Family therapist?
I am not.
Okay, just curious.
I am not.
Now you're going to get to ask a piece of advice to or from Cindy in Montclair. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Okay, so I ask a question of Cindy.
My question is dog poop. What do we do about it? There's so much. It's everywhere. What do we do for there to be less of it? I've been living in this city for 30 years, and like every community meeting I go to, people complain about dog waste.
Now, Elizabeth, you're in Washington Heights. Cindy, you're in Montclair. Do you have that problem there, too?
Yeah, we have the same sort of issue. But most people do walk around with doggy bags, and we actually chastise each other openly if they don't do so. So maybe we can add it to our neighborhood watch and not be afraid when you're seeing someone who's letting it go on the street to just keep bringing it up. I don't know. And some signs, you know, we put little signs, curb your doggy and whatnot.
Okay.
All right, Elizabeth.
Other than that, I'm sorry.
I
hope that helps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Cindy, now you're going to get to ask for advice from Ella. Look at that. She's also in Montclair. So maybe you know each other. Cindy, Ella. Ella, Cindy.
That would be funny.
Hi.
So my question is a little bit tricky.
Is that Cindy?
Yes, it is.
Cindy, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My question is a little bit tricky. I have been home for 12 years with my kids. I used to be a management consultant. And now that the youngest one is 5, I want to go back to making a six-figure income, and nobody wants to pay me more than $10 an hour. And I wondered if there's any magic bullet out there, or at least a field that is wanting and needing of someone who's jack of all trades, but at this point, master of none.
I think that's a great question. I have a six-year-old myself, and so I certainly understand that challenge. I would say that walking into a situation thinking that you're going to make six figures right away after you've been out of the field might be a little bit setting the bar too high. So you might consider either starting out as a consultant, you know, and building up a small practice yourself with the expectation that you're not going to be making maybe six figures right away, but we'll build up to it and we'll, you know, fall into, you'll get yourself back out there. And I think that's the important thing at this point, is to get yourself back out there. Obviously, it's important to value your time and not give it away, but I would sort of come in with a little manager expectations a little bit more going back into the workplace.
All right.
That.
May have to glide back up to six figures. Cindy, thank you very much. Good luck with that.
Thank you, Brian.
And thanks for your advice to the previous call. If you're just joining us, folks, we're playing the latest edition of the Brian Lehrer Show occasional feature, Advice Roulette, where callers ask each other, not knowing who they're going to get, for one piece of advice. 212-433-WNYC. And as you're hearing, people are amazing, whether they're experts in the field or not. So Ella is going to match you up with Kate in Bernardsville, another New Jerseyan. Hi, Kate.
Good morning.
Ella, go for it.
Okay. Hi, Kate. So my question is about dissension in the workplace.
Dissension in the workplace?
Dissension, yeah. There's okay. A colleague who is having some personal issues. I'm very aware of them, but it's a whether those are affecting her performance or just her performance is not where it should be, I'm not sure. My boss asked that I lay off of her, that I not, I guess, keep my expectations low. And I'm wondering if that's appropriate.
And I'm sorry, you're wondering if?
If it is appropriate to do as my boss has asked and keep my expectations of this colleague lower because she's having personal issues.
And her personal issues are directly affecting how you do your work?
They're directly impacting our interaction.
Okay, and do they affect anyone else in the department?
Everybody.
Okay,
everybody.
So is she a linchpin to the entire department?
Or she, is she? No, not necessarily. But she doesn't want to be made irrelevant either. She wants to be in on everything. But I don't need her for most of what I do.
Kate gets points for probing curiosity here, by the way. So the question, Ella, is really to let her slide with the problems that she's been having or lay her off. That's the question, right?
I don't know that she would be laid off, but just let her slide. What do you do? Do you let somebody slide or do you sort of say, you know, work is work and home is home.
All right, Kate, what do you think?
One thing is you don't want to give this issue more energy than it actually deserves within the workplace. you don't want to help her muddy those waters. So for you to keep the issue to her job performance, focus on one or two particular areas in which you feel it is essential that she perform well. No one needs to perform at 100% every waking moment. So while she's there for those 8 hours or however many hours per day at work, identify particular areas in which she's going to be particularly necessary. And first of all, identify for yourself what isn't working well about her performance, and just help her to focus on those issues while she's there during the workday.
All right, Ella, that's a start. Instant thoughtfulness from Kate in Bernardsville. Ella, thank you very much.
And thank you. Good luck, Ella.
Kate, we're going to match you up for a question with Angie in Brooklyn. Angie, you there?
Yes, I am.
Kate, what's your question?
Well,
good morning. Good morning, Angie. I'm hoping you can recommend. I enjoy reading mysteries. I don't want the same old, all the bestsellers. I want something a little more offbeat.
Boy, you had to deal with this other woman's, like, totally intricate personal professional problems, and you're asking for a mystery book. That's nice. Angie, you got one?
Oh, I feel so completely unup to answering this question because I have not read a mystery since I read probably 30 years ago, some Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. So that would be my recommendation because that's my only experience reading mysteries, is to go back and read a master. Go back and read Sherlock Holmes.
That's great advice. Thank you. Definitely do that.
Reread.
Thank you, Brian.
There Were None by Agatha Christie. Kate, thank you. All right. Angie, we're going to match you up with Tasha in Michigan. Tasha, you're in Michigan right now, the state of Michigan?
Yes, I am. I'm on Interstate 94. I'm not driving. My husband's driving.
Okay, great. Well, happy motoring. Hope it's going smoothly out there. And Angie, you get to ask Tasha a question.
Okay, good morning, Tasha. Today in the New York Times, there was a story about the illegal ivory trading in New York City. And I have
There was a story in the New York Times about what in New York City?
About illegal ivory trading here in New York City.
Okay.
It's become a real problem. The elephants are being killed for their ivory. And I have several pieces of ivory, which I have great shame about owning, which I've had for a long time. And I'm wondering if you could suggest a respectful method of disposing of these items.
Well, I would suggest possibly selling them. I mean, you know, they exist, right? So you.
But it's illegal to sell.
But then using the money to donate, and then donating that money to an organization that works to prevent ivory trade.
Oh, that's nice. That's hard, though.
I think I'd actually be arrested for selling the ivory.
Boy, Angie, we got to let you go because we're running out of time. I'm not sure we gave you a good answer to a very difficult question because who in the world knows how to dispose of ivory? But we're going to open this up to our crowd. Post on our website for Angie, how could she dispose of ivory respectfully? And Tasha, you have to ask me a question really fast because we don't have time for another caller.
Okay, my question really fast is, I'm going to be in New York the week after next, and can you recommend a good family-friendly restaurant?
A family-friendly restaurant. I'm going to put this one out to our crowd, too. Everybody post on WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, your favorite family-friendly restaurant in New York City. Tasha, you'll check out our website after you stop driving, okay? And get some answers, and thanks to everybody for playing Advice Roulette. This was so much fun and so interesting.